राम राम प्रसाद ऋषि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी से भगवान की जय ओम विष्णु भगवान महामूर प्रसाद सती महान श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत से सदी को महाराज की श्री रामाचार्य हरिनाथ को की प्रेम से भक्ति कृष्ण चैतन्य भगवान की नंदन श्री द्वैत विरहा शिवासरी गो भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण साईं सुंदर को निगिरी गोदान की वृंदावन धाम की మతోయ రామ్కి నారీదాంకి హిమరమాయకి గంగమాయకి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి శ్యామబేర్ భక్తివృందకి ఆ గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ డివోటీస్ ఆ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గురంగ I'm so happy to see Maharaj. He is a natural embodiment of Vrindavan. So I can look at you and I can think of Vrindavan. So I'm not going to chant because I don't know how long I can sit here. So I'm going to go right into the class. I've been reading some passages each week from the book Die Before Dying. And the idea, of course, is that birth is synonymous practically with death. Just as we're born, we also know that after some short time, there's disease, there's old age, and there's death. And for Vaishnavas, when the Vaishnava dies, we say Jai, victory. Because if it's been a proper Vaishnava, then there's acceleration. It's categorical, unequivocal. Person doesn't return back home, there's elevation. So I want to read a meditation called Death Can Be the Perfect Escape. These last few days my bad health or whatever was going on with his body has accelerated. And we're going back to not being able to sleep again. And I was just thinking that when I do leave now, it'll be an escape. Inasmuch as that there's so much that this day these physical bodies are conditioned to endure. It's like you have a car, apartment or whatever, any kind of machine, and so certain malfunctions send out a signal. Aha, it's about time to turn it in. Because we don't want to turn in our body to any other material body. We want to be freed of this samsara process. So this whole mature world we know is a prison, maitunya gava, shackles of sex life. The mahatava, as it is broken down into different ways, is creating the most fantastic prisons. Different universes, different kinds of planets, different types of bodies that we often take as the all in all. Jiva Jivasa Jivanam, that here basically one living entity is food for another. Someone is hunting for another body to enjoy. And whether it's between the same species or interspecies, we see that the vital issue is very serious. To such an extent that some species have become extinct. So they existed for a while, and in some cases they were very prominent, very dominantly involving themselves in this process of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And then, at some point, very few existing, and then the whole species is gone. Purna charita charita nam. So this chewing of the chewed is only so much pleasure you can get out of chewing something that's been chewed. Since I had a cancer in the bones and broke the collarbone, I fractured it. Now, however I stand, well, I don't stand anymore, but however I sit, or lean or lay, it's like no comfort. And I realized this is also like trying to enjoy the material world. We make certain permutations and combinations of arrangements with the idea that this is going to work. This is going to bring some happiness, but it's chapala sukha, it's temporary happiness. And so usually people occupy themselves with so much temporary things that they forget practically that this is not working. Heterogeneity, diversity, variegatedness, and sense gratification. There's so much involved now that companies and agencies just try to find all kinds of ways to supply massive types of sense gratification, creative sense gratification. But in one sense, all designed to cause people to forget that they're dying, that they're moments away from death, how long they may hang around in the bodies that they have. So living entities are trying to escape the poverty, liberty, looking for something positive, trying to avoid something that's negative. Or the nature of the mind, the samkalpa and vikalpa, is just accepting, rejecting, rejecting, accepting. And you can be very occupied with that for lifetimes. But the intelligent entity begins to realize, something is not quite working. There must be something better. There must be some reason behind all of the phantasmagoria, entanglements. Must be something that is anathana. We all have these eternal desires, transcendental desires, and where they come from, they just come out of nowhere. It's connected with our original swarup. I was telling some of the devotees, in a few days, I want to, of course, have a meeting with the community, the new board members, the community board, and the temple board, and then have a present for Nista Gosi with all the devotees. And then after that, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, or John Favors, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, Ghanashyam, Swami Krishna Prasad, he's gone. I'll still be around, who knows, weeks or months. But basically, I've come here to leave. I've come here to so-called die. Die to live. I come to refocus myself, let us say, or focus for that victory celebration. And so each day I can see myself getting a little closer as the cancer tumors are spread all over the body. But each day I can see also how the physicality, the external, is in such distress. But at the same time, the authentic self kind of backs away and kind of watches what's going on. So the devotees around me, they see that I'm suffering. But half the time, I'm jovial. And so sometimes I was thinking, they must wonder what's going on. Of course, part of it is just to keep them from having a pity party around me. Oh, Maharaj didn't sleep. He only slept every hour he was up. Oh, he was in pain. Oh, he didn't eat today. Oh, he almost fell down. Oh. No pity parties. Anyway, you have your chance to have to deal with your body in certain complexities and difficulties. But also because this is a natural dichotomy that's gradually taking place. Is that one part is feeling, I need to escape. Can I take another day of this? Another part is excited, thinking, very soon we'll give up this 55-year-old body with all of its tensions and anxieties and complexities and hankara and so many other things, enemies of the mind. And that the next existence and services are animated with radiant joy and adventure. And so I, in no way I'm trying to leave early. I kind of thought I'd be around a little longer. I thought maybe I would have a year, a year and a half, but I think it would be quite amazing if I'm 2 months. Yesterday, I think I was talking about Rufo Velasco, Mexico, and I was saying, I'll see him in 2 days, or that I could be leaving. And then another part of the conversation is that I could be leaving in, you know, literally a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Some other devotees thought I was saying, I'm going to leave in 2 days. But there was a buzz around. Maharaj said he is going to leave in 2 days. It could be. I don't think it's that soon. Although I have, as I was saying the other week, I have been, for lack of a better word, internally informed that their prophet has already sent the caretakers to pull me out. And so, if it's more based on now when I can't take it anymore, or when I feel that what I have lived for and what I've tried to share, there's closure, or whether they feel that I need to go earlier, we will see. I think it will be a combination of both. And we will see this as an escape, in one sense, from the dualities of material body and material world. We'll never escape from our service to Prabhupada's institution, whoever it may be, his mission, my God brothers, God sisters. And already, so many of my disciples all around the world have become so much more serious than they were when I was healthy. So I see a whole list of things with the devotee community, some of the other faith communities I participated in, some of the other organizations, how I'm just amazed how my death is having, impending death is having an impact. So it's very glorious for one to, as Prabhupada says, successful life is to die on the battlefield like Grandfather Bhishma. I was joking with the devotees when they drove me here. I was late because it took me about 15, 20 minutes just driving, since any bump can fracture or break the rest of this, and my hip definitely can't, is heavier than what some of the weight of this fracture can endure. So I was saying, I want to die on the battlefield, but not, you know, not only get an IV field. I realize how bad our roads are, so. Yeah, village community, please, village leaders, please try to see how if we get some better roads. I'm hoping maybe next week I'll still be able to come over, but I'm not sure. But I'll keep preaching, so I may have to invite you over to the house if I can't come. So there are different ways of how people try to escape. You know, people try to escape, you know, trying to have a sense of longevity. They want the different opulences of Krishna. Aishvarya, Varya, they want. They want to be most beautiful. They want to have the most gyan, the most knowledge. So they're really trying to escape their own humanity. They're trying to escape their own incarceration, is that the body that they're using is limited and is not the supreme. And even in the original state, they're still the Parameshwara, even though there are many Ishvaryas. And with all the modern technology, people can find a lot of ways to escape creating their own kind of world with different kind of sense gratification activities or functions, machines. It's all a part of modernity. But the ultimate escape is, we know too, not to just be wealthy, not to just be intelligent, not to just be popular, not to be in relationship, out of relationship, not to be a sudidar, not to be a yogi, not to be a bogi, not to be a rogi, but it's really to be a bhakta. Well, one ultimately escapes and goes to associate with Bhagavan. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. For all the love and the opulence is there. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the spiritual kingdom, doesn't have any of the kunta, these shackles and imprisonments, but the Vaikuntha. So they look at my inevitable departure and the what will be a closure and the finalization of service in this way to Prabhupada in association with so many devotees, and also be a way to try to offer value. Each day I think about what value can I offer before I leave. And so I'm still utilitarian. Just yesterday I was doing a radio show, live radio show. And I just tried to think, what kind of things I want to say? It was in Washington, Maryland community. And so I just used it. It's an hour show. Explain great basic philosophical things. And also to send out messages and warnings and to use the death experience as a chance to try to impact more emphatically on people's consciousness. Well, like now we're here and while we're talking, we have viewers, our TV viewers, tens of thousands of people in our Washington cable television. And then now we're putting it on the web, and we're having up to almost 1,000 people to download the classes every day. So I'm thinking here I can barely move, but still I'm finding ways to somehow to get some distinction, some adoration, some attention. Of course we hope that's not the real case, but a chance to continue trying to serve. And that's the exciting part. We don't always know to what degree we can be consistent in the service, but to be able to serve, because Krishna is more even concerned with the service attitude than the service rendered. Now I was thinking also of an escape. One of my most dearest times with Srila Prabhupada was of course when he was leaving the planet and came to England. But it's like he prepared me for my most difficult time in his service. Up until now, this is most difficult, but more blissful at the same time. Right after Prabhupada blessed me in certain ways at that last meeting I had with him, then some short time later, I was in Romania and I was in prison. And I realized that if it wasn't for having met with him and the encouragement that he gave me, that I probably would have lost it. Because there I was in this communist country. Communism was full on at that time. And there was no way anyone could help me from the outside. Only Hare Krishna at the time was my authority. And he had to rush to Vrindavan. He sent me a telegram. He said, there's nothing we can do. Prabhupada is leaving. You just have to pray to Krishna. And if you want to see horrible jails, some of these countries is, you know, unbelievable. Even the hospitals, what to say of them, the jails. Anyway, they didn't put me in the jail. I mean, I visited a couple of times. But worse, they put me in a hotel and made me pay. While they imprisoned me, they made me pay for being in prison. Anyway, that's a whole story of its own. But the part I want to mention is that, you know, a couple of times when I tried to escape, and I just thought I had the perfect escape. I mean, I thought I had it down. That James Bond didn't have nothing on me. I mean, I was able to sneak out and without being noticed and get the car and mapped out the best route, the different, you know, borders. And, of course, the first time I got there, of all the people who could have been at that gate was the policeman who impounded my car. Here we had a huge country of thousands of policemen and also many border guards and others. And just that time, that day, I come through there and the guy recognizes, this is the car that we impound. And then I had nothing to do but to chant and to eat cabbage. I was eating cabbage and apples for quite a long time. I didn't want to take anybody's apples or cabbage. I had quite a fulfill. The only thing we had available. But you know, I'm telling you, at that time the cabbage was wonderful. When you have nothing to eat and you're hungry, I mean, something that normally would not be tasty, it's just it's like a feast. I would crunch on that cabbage. It's thinking wonderful. Then the apple was like dessert. Wonderful dessert. And then the second time, I thought, okay, first time, that was just a fluke. Krishna's just testing me. He's going to let me out of here. So next time, I had to go much farther to another border. And this is the most freakish thing. My license from the accident, I had gotten blood on it. And when I had my license at the border, he looked and saw blood. And immediately he suspected something foul. Called them to the headquarters station and they found out, hey, that guy's supposed to be in jail. I might bring this up is that when Krishna wants us to escape, we escape. When Krishna wants us to come back, if that's the quality of our devotion, our adhikaris is such that we can go back, we go. And if he doesn't, then all kind of things we can try, but it just won't happen. It's that Radha, what was it, Maharaj? Nobody can, Krishna wants to kill, nobody can save. Krishna wants to save, nobody can kill. Radha K. Mari Krishna. Radha K. Yes. So, I was thinking like that really nobody really escapes anything. It's all designed in a sense based on our karma. And of course, prasad or mercy is there. But a certain amount of mercy must, certain amount of endeavor must be there for concomitant mercy and blessings. Then the last thing I want to read, because I have to try to have a shorter class. Before I joined the movement, just before, I didn't have many jobs, but I had a few jobs. Because of Brahmacharya and then Sannyasi. But my last year at Princeton, I worked for the assistant to the public defender in New Jersey. And the year I was trying to decide what to do with my life, to become a Hare Krishna or to go into international law and etc. I took this like an interim period. This man is doing that to make a little money and be to myself. So I would go to work and then weekends I would go to New York, to the temple, come back. And basically I just lived there and I was chanting 16 rounds and listened to tapes and try to consider just what I should do with my life. One of the things I noticed, because at one point I started dove-selling to work, and I just started trying to preach and bring people prisoners' books. I got involved because there, one time there were a lot of riots in some of the prisons. People trying to escape and also rioting because somehow they want to make the prison a little more comfortable. So due to that, the federal government started these penal reform programs. Hopefully some of them were of some value. But I noticed sometimes, yeah, there were those who were, you know, reflecting and meditating on how to escape, how to get out. But there were some prisoners who, even when they were released, they didn't want to leave. Because they had become so habituated to the lifestyle of the prison, that's all they knew. There was some security, some solace. And so they didn't want to leave. So, just like in the case of Indra, being so affixed in sense gratification. So sometimes, in entities in the material world, they are so habituated to certain kinds of sense gratification that they just can't see the path for escape. Even when the opportunities are there, the Shastras there, and the Sadhus, and the Gurus, and they just can't, they can't take advantage of it. So this meditation is called, Death Can Be the Perfect Escape. Death is a Vaishnava's victory celebration. Therefore, upon death of a Vaishnava, festival arrangements are made. Friends and family come together to reflect on the many good qualities of the deceased. This is called old age, when you gotta change your glasses 3 or 4 times. Let me put on my bifocus here. Friends and family members come together to reflect on the many good qualities of the deceased, discussing the wonderful ways he or she impacted on their lives. The individual's departure is glorious because a serious devotee goes back to Krishna, joins his guru, or is commissioned to perform higher services, with even better association in his or her next life. Even if such a devotee does not fully graduate from having to enter into the material bodies again, still his or her next life will be more auspicious. A healthy life is the goal of a devotee saint. For in death, the devotee aligns or reconnects with eternal life and service. Death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarcerations. The living entity, due to misuse of free will and enviousness of God, temporarily tries to become a master of the relative, transitorial, illusory world of duality. Such an entity is given a chance to feel disconnected from transcendence, in a place where he can try to become the supreme. We understand that basically material life means that we have misused our free will, and that we're given a chance due to some enviousness and other issues to have an arena where we can engage in mastering the illusions. So the entity is given such a chance, making ridiculous efforts to lord over all that he or she surveys. And these attempts to enjoy and find happiness, living entity simply contemplates the objects of the senses and forms sequences of acts leading to negativity. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment, isn't it? And from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. Bhagavad Gita 2.262. The living entity, after experiencing extreme failures, setbacks, and frustrations, one day meets a bona fide spiritual master, Pramanya Kanya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasare Paya Bhakti Lata Dija. He is informed that by expertly following these instructions, he gets the full mercy of the Guru. Tad Vini Pani Pati Na Pari Pashena Sevaya Sinaha. Just try to learn the truth, and we know the translation. By approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. The Guru helps escort one out of the material bodily imprisonment. Death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all the illusions and material incarcerations. When the living entity undergoes the process of birth, it goes through traumatic experiences in the womb. The embryo is bitten by worms and inconvenienced by whatever the mother does, and whatever is going on in the atmosphere also. The poor being is cramped into a little sack, not knowing his future, while subject to intense suffering. A mature adult could never endure such suffering. But the worst is yet to come. For when the living being is forced out of the womb covered by blood and placentia, he is introduced once again to a life of physical and emotional sufferings. It is only upon death that the jiva's incarceration can be fully terminated. Death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarceration. We know there's the jiva mukta, there's the nitya siddha, there's souls who are not really confined to a body. They also at some point give it up. But basically, for most people, death means here's really your chance to graduate, or chance to see what one did not do sufficiently that now engenders another body, another existence in the material prisons. While in the physical body, heavenly entities struggle individually and collectively at their most basic level. Their energy is focused on anomoya, simply evaluating the environment and looking for what is edible. Once the hunger is somewhat satisfied, then the individual becomes a little more involved, not focusing on, of course, pranamoya, or arranging for protection and security. When the drive is somewhat fulfilled, the entity now pursues manomaya. Or intellectual pursuits, Gyanamaya, inquiries. If the jiva moves through these stages properly, he would advance to the stage of pursuing Vijnana or Anandamaya, self-realization and transcendence. All of these stages involve tremendous work and subject the jiva to complex anxieties and sufferings. If one does not come to the stage of Anandamaya, one is likely to once again enter into material bodies in, of course, the material world. Most global citizens rarely progress past anomaya or pranamaya. And most current governments and civilizations rarely mature past the first or the second levels of survival and existence. You look at how most of the funds are spent, most of the plans, most of the projects, and it's first and second level. However, death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarcerations. Life is a constant series of setbacks, tests, and challenges. As soon as we successfully pass one test or recuperate from one particular setback, another test, challenge, or calamity appears. Haribo, many of you know what, understand that one, right? Sometimes it seems like one test, another test, another test. Some people give up by committing suicide, becoming mentally depressed, or just accepting defeat and mediocrity. Others who think they are still independent, creative agents are often docile, controlled, and imprisoned by fads and propaganda. Those who are imprisoned by these societal norms think that they are genuinely enjoying, but are actually even more imprisoned than those who are aware of their struggles, sufferings, and pain. Being too comfortable in the material body is a disqualification for transcendence. The second canto of Bhagavatam says, an easy life, devotional service goes ill together. How can you have an easy life in prison? You have to be trying to escape or trying to get, see paroled. Someone is constantly strategizing for improvement and for recognition from those who can give their freedom. Difficulties can aid us in moving through the stages of development more seriously. It says these difficulties that I'm experiencing, I just keep repeating the statement of Bhaktivinoda. that any suffering encountered in my service to Krishna is my greatest joy. Difficulties can aid us in moving through the stages of development more seriously, and death offers the soul a chance, yes, to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarcerations. When a person dies, the destination of the soul varies. Some jivas wake up and find themselves in their original swaroops, looking very blissful and youthful, fully prepared to serve the divine couple in intimacy. When others leave their bodies, they find themselves having the same form as the Lord. You know, the different deliberations, swarupa, sayuja, swarupa, sarsti, and sisaloka. When others leave their bodies, they find themselves having the same form as the Lord. And other jivas, due to the nature of their worship, go to reside in the various abodes that correspond with their worship or lack of worship. So it may be eternal bhakta of Lord Ram or bhakta of Shiva. Death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarcerations. And then we focus on one or two more points and we'll take questions. The living entity is sometimes like a carefree spontaneous wild animal that has been captured and forced into a cage. Sometimes we go to zoos and you see animals, you know, in cages. And they're set in a natural place. And people come and watch them and feed them something, but they're so unnatural. The cage is extremely confining, imposing all kinds of unnatural limitations on the jivas. Most jivas begin to know the boundaries and limitations as normal, because after all, everyone around them is confined as well. When prisoners remain in a cage for a long time, they begin to forget that there is any other existence. As I mentioned about some of those prisoners I had a chance to visit when I was working at the Public Defender's Office. Some forget and some just have no intention on wanting to leave. Therefore, one accepts and adjusts to such monotonous, restricted, and artificial life. As we've done, in the conditioned state, basically the entity has kind of accepted that this is the deal, instead of realizing that, no, this is a chance to have the perfect escape. From time to time, the pure devotees and even the Lord, we say escape because Maya will keep trying to find ways to keep the person in prison. And so as Maya is engaged in all kinds of schemes to keep us bewildered and fixing the illusion, we have to know that while we take more and more shelter of the agents who can lead us through, guide us through, while we avoid becoming casualties or overly wounded. From time to time, the pure devotees, even the Lord Himself, come to rescue us. You know, Krishna comes in so many different manifestations, and He comes also in different avatars, and you see a Vesh. But more often than not, they are so entangled, covered by such illusions, and absorbed in immediate gratifications and problems, that they miss out on the mercy that is extended to them. The great souls, literally, they unlock the door of samsara, of repeated birth and death. They try to point to the path of escape, but unfortunately, most of those who are incarcerated do not understand the wonderful opportunity being offered to them. Some rare souls, when coming in contact with the Lord and His special representatives, become fully active, joyful, and appreciative. These rare souls, they perceive the Lord and His envoys as the path for escape. After being sufficiently coached, they run full speed out of the prison cage, never to look back or return. If they do return, it is not as a prisoner, but as a warden, or more likely as a merciful guide who is eager to help escort the imprisoned jivas out of their horrific suffering and confinement. These guides fully, and I end with this, so if we can just focus on this, you know, this last submission. These guides fully understand the nature and the intensity of each prisoner's suffering and are extremely emphatic or empathetic. But even more important is that each guide is fully aware of the glorious life outside of the prison that is awaiting every jiva who has a successful escape. It's like, you know, there's the safe houses. People escape, then there are people there ready to, do the necessary. Anyone who accepts the full guidance of the Lord and His most special agents will have their most special escape. We want, beloved, to constantly remind ourselves and others that death offers the soul a chance to make the final escape from all illusions and material incarcerations. I am that lowly beggar who has been blessed by the Lord and His envoys. They have opened my prison cell, come inside to coach me, and now have invited me to come and to join them. Will I follow immediately, or will I postpone the invitation? And if I postpone it, will I remain able to perceive the path? Hare Krishna. So I can sit a few more minutes to take a few questions, and then I will go back over with my wife for Prasadam and then start my treatments, rest of my treatments. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Well, you probably know better than I do. I like to think in terms of the fact that being a spiritualist means you're on the battlefield. That our number one book is the Bhagavad Gita, and we're getting this core message on the battlefield. Krishna could have spoke in the most fallacious place, in the most sublime, serene environment, but He is letting us know, that the message is there, and now we must engage. And so He didn't do it for. He didn't say, "Look, Arjun, you sit down, and I'm going to wipe them all out. Just watch me, or just go and meditate, Arjun, and go into samadhi, be detached." But He gave him the message of Kriya Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, of course, ultimately Bhakti, etc. But what we see is that although Krishna was there, Arjuna still had to undergo what was necessary. Some struggle, bewilderment, and of course, activity. He had to have resolve to do, you know, what was necessary. So first, to remind us, we take the spiritual life, we're in a battle. As I said some time back at the festival here, sending a message out to the devotees, is that each devotee, we should be in that mindset that in a battle is the most dangerous environment. It brings the worst out of people, but it also brings out the best. It's the greatest chance for a healthy sadhu sangha, alliances. So at the same time, people get wounded, they become cowards, they become traitors, they become sabotagers. So we like to think that there's so much war going on in so many ways, and force or shakti is necessary. You can't accomplish anything without a certain amount of shakti and also strategy. Prabhupada gives the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam what constitutes any successful action. We won't go there right now. But the point is that we should be constantly having the armament of compassion, of love, of righteousness. We should constantly live a life of integrity and be guided, as Shastra Shakshu, see through the eyes of the Shastra. So just as a warrior has plans and strategizes and looks for allegiances and for healthy association and needs to get reinforced and to sharpen their weapons and to look closer at what is their field of activity, and also to be clear about what is the onslaught of the enemy, how Maya works. So in this way, one does not take for granted the situation, do not become a prisoner who loses the ability to try to escape or to try to improve, you know, to become reformed. So when we are in that kind of mindset, then we are ready to take on opportunity at any moment. We realize also we can become casualties at any moment.
Uh-huh. In response to your answer, you gave the definition of a spiritual warrior in your book, Transforming Lust into Love. If I may read just this short paragraph.
I'm going to take maybe two or three more questions, so I'm just going to stop there. But please, everybody get the book and read it themselves. You're advertising my book. Particularly, in 3 weeks we'll have the book Die Before Dying, and in about 6 weeks we'll have the book Spiritual Warrior 6. War, violence, terrorism, fanaticism, and the peace solution. And so we've tried to, again, as we normally do, bring in Shastric things in accord with what is going on in the world. And we have wonderful reviews by high government officials in different places in the world. So we think this book is very timely with all the violence going on and people so much engaged in, you know, Kali Yuga warfare. So we're saying that the spiritualist must have at least that kind of determination and focus and preparation, if not more. For those who wage war, we must be able to wage peace and wage love and devotion and offer transcendence. And that just doesn't happen by yata mata tata pata. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen just by a sentimentality. But it happens by a strong involvement in being used as a puppet. Yes.
Why you have to go through
these challenges? I ask for it. We have to be careful what we ask for. I ask that I do not want to continue in a society and see so many people suffering and not have more impact to make a change, to make a difference. I ask that I could help to relieve a quantity number of people from their own difficulties in their spiritual journey and whatever that it would take, that as that while that happens and allow me to reach the deeper level or the level of purity, I ask for that. Now the way it comes or the way it's coming, that's all up to the devas and up to my guru. Okay?
Actually, your case in my Maharaj is the same, but in prepared to the Krishna. So I'm really inspired and very fortunate to be such a good example for me. And I'm able to do a good day to your success. And I have a project in my country to a center of it. And actually, I'll be very, very dedicated and see how we are going to teach them about it. And they really do to be very serious.
So, you offer it, it's a wonderful the pioneer. Pioneering gives us some special blessings. And so many devotees have had that experience. But as we said several times, when we pioneer, it can be most complex because we get wounded and we make many sacrifices. But ultimately, we build up our spiritual bank account. And so, be excited that you have a chance to embark upon this new territory. And always more important than what the student or the chela disciple does when the guru is present, that's important. But more important is when the teacher leaves. It was wonderful when Prabhupada was on the planet. So many things could be somewhat resolved, you know, rather expediently. But if Prabhupada didn't leave, so many of the leaders would never become as rich in the Vaishnava culture as they have. And many of us would never have taken the kind of risks and responsibilities. I mean, I decided to take sannyas just when Prabhupada left. You know, it was like fixed, okay, now my guru is gone, and so I have to find a way to distinctly dedicate myself and offer myself more, you know, to his mission. So this is the nature that we have, this wonderful legacy that's been passed down, this Parampara system. And it was never based on just the physicality, the externality, or the geographical scheme of things. And so when some of the senior devotees leave, or the spiritual masters leave, both sometimes the same thing. It's a chance for the devotees to look closer at how it's happening, it's going to happen to everybody. It's a chance for devotees and people to look closer at how to be more mindful in their own lives and what they do. And most important, it's a chance to see how real Krishna consciousness is really operating in our lives. I mean, if I wasn't getting some little blessings from Prabhupada, I'd be probably suicidal by now. And just thinking, I got this advanced cancer all over the place. I got arthritis. I got diabetes. I got bladder problems. I got prostate problems. I mean, I can write a book what's going on with this machine. They're making it very easy when time comes to leave to jump out of here. I mean, first I was walking on the crutches and cane, and now that I broke my collarbone, I don't have any muscle strength to walk on the crutch or cane. So you somehow have to carry me on the wheelchair, carry me up. But at the same time, I'm dying, but I got life. one of my meditations is live until dying. Maybe I'll read that next week. That we're all dying, but we still got life. We have to live as much as we can until that time comes. Okay. Any last question? Okay. One or two in the back way there. And then we'll stop. See, I'm dying. The other day I was telling the devotees, I said, I was still trying to be a controller. I said, I'm dying. I still haven't given up this controlling energy. Then when I came over and I told you, hey, give me the fancy coat. So I may be sick, but I don't have to look sick. Okay. Yes.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were discussing about Krishna consciousness, and he said, well, what's the point of it? I mean, he said, if in Krishna consciousness you go back to Krishna, but we already came from Krishna, or, we had the desire to be separate, and we came back here. So, if you go back to Krishna, we may fall down again. So, it's just a big circle. So, what's
Well, for such people who, in most cases, really envious and hate God anyway, they find so many rationalizations to think, hey, why should I go back to Him? Why should He be the all in all and join? Let me have my share. So, usually there's some subtleties in that way. But we know, as the Shastra says, from once returning, that one there never comes back again. Yes, there is always the potentiality for exploration, potentiality for investigation, and Krishna is so merciful, He can arrange, as He arranges these amazing universes, where we're trying to appear to be separate. And so in some ways, we are not so much the wind, a tremendous illusion, because we see that we are still accompanied by the Super Soul, the Paramatma. We're being watched by the sun, by the moon, by the devas, etc. And pretty much our choice is to just accept our basic karma and go through all kinds of complexities, or we have free will to use to try to connect with transcendence, where that karma gradually is altered and we get help. So if we look at travel or escape, say travel. So somebody inquire, why should I go to Vrindavan? Why should I go to Mayapur? Why should I go to Disneyland? Well, look at what Disneyland has to offer, look at what Vrindavan or whatever, and different people will have different levels of interest and will be excited by what is offerable. So for the sadhus, they, as they find more and more what is available, what is offerable, what they can participate in, what they can once again reclaim or connect with in a deeper way, then they're excited. But for some souls, as we're reading in the meditation, for some souls, even hearing, even when being guided, even when the path is shown, they will not be interested. Mithu Sava-Charas-Chaham is that Krishna is death, but is seen in different ways. It's like when he was in the wrestling match, same Krishna and Balaram, but he was seen so differently based on the consciousness. Yes, Purana. After her, I'm going to take one last, and then we have to stop.
Last week with the Danish group, I saw to them about what's going on with you and the health and your preparing to leave the body. And I asked them if they had any particular questions or how they were feeling about everything. And one question that was brought up, if you've already actually spoken on some degree, was if you said that you wanted to assist people more and that's why this is happening to you, how is it that you're going to be able to assist people?
Oh, wait until I leave and you see what happens after I leave.
If
you look on my website, the Russian website, the Brazilian website, the Spanish website, the Ukraine website, the English website, the American website, you will be shocked to see the level of transformation that's already taking place. The amazing opportunity Krishna has given me to connect and bond and to learn and to share something with my God brothers is awesome. Next couple of days we have about, you know, 7 or 8 gurus who are coming down. I mean, just amazing. The amount of, with some, as you have seen amongst yourselves, how you've strengthened your own devotion as you realize that, you know, your teacher is leaving. In some ways, how it's helped us as leaders to be a little bit more careful and a little more tolerant and loving, realizing that who's going to go next. I get letters every day from someone who's chronically ill, who say they've been helped. I get letters every other day from someone who's left the movement, who says that somehow my situation has caused them to come back and try to examine into the movement again. People say they have lost faith in leadership. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know, it's just phenomenal. And that's why, with all this is going on, I'm joyful, because I see if my concern was to serve, and if somehow it took to for me to be suffering and to die, be dying, who is it, Chitaleka in Australia, she said, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to see you dying before we become serious. But at the same time, you won't really know what person really is that, because they're dealing with the biggest challenges. You know, we sometimes have a misconception about sadhu qualities. You know, we can be on the altar, and we can have all kind of stuff going on in our mind, and be making all kind of arrangements, you know, for sense gratification. But to be honest, I was thinking about this a little more, because, you know, some of God brothers are writing, we're having discourse and talking out many wonderful things. I think there's this article of Burjan and myself that should come on Chakra the next day or two. It was on the GBC site, and we're discussing about suffering and some different things. Look on it, you'll see it. He gave me permission to share some of it. But, and then some cases he asked me to take back the prayer, and I had to look at this at some point. Especially, you know, as you get closer to death and the pain gets more intense, and you know, you lose appetite, you can't sleep, and you know, etc. But then I realized. Krishna is so funny. I realized I could not have not made that prayer. And you go back to last week's lecture, and I talk about that since I was a brahmacharya, I was riding and praying in the spirit. And so my soul would not have allowed me not to make that prayer at that time. And so all this personality and all this acculturation stuff that we often have that it's part of the physiognomy in the physical. It's there. But we all have certain quality. We know our original sarupa is all pure, but still, there's a different level of consciousness once you get behind this gross stuff. And to the degree we make ourselves available, that consciousness is going to push us forward. So I come to a point of seeing the degree of suffering, and my soul just says, you must personally involve yourself in doing something. You know, I've written in several books that we must look at what we need to change in ourselves to help bring about change. Mahatma Gandhi said something like that. We must see what we need to change to be able to change others. And so I saw I needed to change certain things in my own life to get more detachment from the gross and subtle attachments. And that if I genuinely kept making that prayer that one day I would mean a little more, because I've been praying and writing in the mood of Vasudev Dada since my practically second and third year as a brahmachari. I've been writing my diaries, today is my last day, let me see how best to serve you, Prabhupada, since I was a brahmachari, before I was a sannyasi, GBC guru, etc. So then being a leader, where one can have more influence in whatever they do, good or bad, or whatever they do in a period. So it was an opportune time for me now to try to do that in a way to try to offer some service and offer some impact. So that's why, and I'm ending here, that's why, you know, I'm full of the duality that I'm dealing with the difficulties. And as some of you were saying on one of the chat rooms, if Maharaj is really ready to go and everything, why is he crying all the time? You know, most times when I start the class, I do Jaya Radha Madhava. So I trick you today. I didn't do it because I know I would probably cry. And just said, I got to get through the class quick. But that's not self-pity or sadness of what's going on. Like I was listening to this beautiful tape, you know, Radhe Shyam, and I just started crying. I was just feeling such more internal satisfaction and peace and connection into a transcendence. So I'll be boohooing all over the place, you know, by the time I leave. But it's becoming more and more of a dreadful situation of knowing that right around the corner, I'm ready to join up with my spiritual master's mission in a very exciting way, and that I will be able to have certain impact that he will allow me after I leave the body and being able to assist the movement. And so we have joined, as he was asking about spiritual warriors. So a real warrior, what does a real warrior love? War. Eats and sleeps warfare. So if we're really preachers and servants, servant leaders, then we just love opportunities when we can somehow be able to do some service or some maha service. So my nature is extreme. It's always been that way in this existence. And so here I'm extremely getting affection and attention and love and concern, and I'm outrageous. In life, I find ways to get attention and to impact, and in dying, I'm finding ways. And into my last few breaths, I'll keep trying to see how to share and to preach, and to, as we're doing, sharing what we've written about die before dying. So thank you all very much. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to come over here again. It's really hard on the road, and if I slip or something, then I could go even quicker, or if I have too much movement and this cracks, because this can't heal. The cancer won't let the collarbone heal. But I just really wanted to be able to see the deities. I wanted to particularly connect with the devotees in the community and remind them how much I love them. The devotees are arranging for my samadhi to be here. I'm not rushing off to Mayapur or Vrindavan. I want to, even the departure if possible, to be here with yourselves and take shelter. Vada Kunjabi, Vada Kalachanji, and Detroit deities, and also Vada Damodar. Also as a way that some leaders are not going to be able to have the money to go to Mayapur or the strength. And so we don't want devotees feeling that you only have to go to the dhams. Yes, it's true how much more potency is there, but if you are trying to carry the dham, or if you are internalizing the dham, or if we are accepting how Prabhupada's sinners are also dhams because of his greatness, then these special agents, and this is one of the things, try to understand this, when you live in the dham, you get special help. All of those different agents of the Lord, but they're very special helpers in the holy dhams. But it's not that they're only there, but if your quality is such you can draw them to wherever you are, then you also get help. It's just like when something is being sold on sale, you get the same thing but a little cheaper. And so if you are able to go to the holy, because I don't want to send a message that people shouldn't go to the holy dhams to leave. If they can, yes. So many reasons our acharyas have given us, and it's so much a part, you know, part of our siddhanta. But Prabhupada wanted to down the battlefield. And we see that so much of the success of his preaching was how he was a global transformer. And basically my service, as unorthodox as it was mainly helping people to rise above anartha nivritti, to help devotees increase in their faith, and to reach pious people all over the planet. And so Krishna allowed us to reach literally millions of pious people from some of the TV shows that we've done all over the world, and the books that we have made available. And so much of my service was kind of outside of the traditional sadhu profile. And I'm not intimidated or embarrassed by that. Or was it a sign of lacking? Prabhupada blessed me in spite of that. So therefore, my leaving here is just as important to me as leaving in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. And then I will be on your case. I'll be reminding you as you have to pass my samadhi. So you just can't get rid of me. It's gone from the child of divine grace. A.C. Bhakti Virata Swami Sri Bhubhaki Sri Sri Vaha Damada Vara Kalachami Tagana Parade Sri Bhadra Goni Taiki. Did she bring a wheelchair? Where's my limousine? Oh, thank you so much. Wow. Get us some. What's the title of this? The perfect title. Yeah, I need a perfect escape.